Hi, my name's Jack Hurd. You're listening to Reading Radio on Kaechung, 1630 AM, broadcasting live from Chinatown. This week, I'm going to be reading a piece by a friend of mine named Zach Klein. It's entitled, I Am the One I've Been Waiting For. Let's begin. You told me you wanted to have this conversation holding hands. I was joking. How do you define your work? My work is an attempt to come to terms with who I am in relationship to larger forces that shaped me. What larger forces? I don't know. Big forces. Huge flying institutional pies in the sky. Probably the most influential is religion, which shaped our family dynamic. And technology. Definitely technology. Like the camcorder. Particularly that camcorder. You have strong feelings about it. Sure I do. Don't you? To me, it was just Dad recording his family's happy memories. The videos were an archive, what Robert Gardner called the impulse to preserve. It was one place we would confirm the story we told about our clan and ourselves. I didn't find it threatening. Yeah, I agree with that definition, but for me, it was much more oppressive. I felt early on that the story was being recorded in our home video archive was presented as the only option. A continuation of our faithful family legacy, God's chosen. Yeah, like an instructional manual that Mom and Dad expected us to look back on for guidance. You're making the video archive sound like the Bible. Early in the archive is a reenactment of the Christmas story. Sarah was Mary, Sarah's baby doll was Jesus, I was Joseph, you were the innkeeper, Dad was the angel from heaven, and Mom was the narrator, reading directly from the Bible. Why can't you let go of all that shit and just live your life the way you want to live it? I did. I don't know. You got lucky. Maybe it was the fact that I came out of Mom first. Firstborn burden. I'm trying to let go of all of it. Really, I am. My art practice is therapeutic in this sense, an attempt to find out what is truly original about me. I still feel the effects of faith culture, of the faith culture I come from, and the presence of the camcorder. What if there is nothing original about you? You are a twin. You already have a double, me. Well, Debbie Downer, if that's what I discover, so be it. Maybe at the end of this journey, I'll have to accept the inevitable. You have strong emotions about Dad and the camcorder, and yet you use that archival footage almost exclusively in your work for the past several years. Yeah, maybe this means I'm trying to rewrite our family history. You can't do that. What happened is what happened. We'll see. Stop being so one-sided. I know you have a complex love-hate relationship with the archive. You were always hamming it up for Dad and the camcorder, and eventually I saw you pick up that camcorder and make your own videos. Performance was important to me, still is. Define performance. I define it as an awareness of being watched. Are you performing when you're alone, when no one's watching? Because of our conservative Christian upbringing, yes. There was a hymn that Mom shared with me once called The Ever-Present Eye is Watching You. It was from her ultra-conservative past. I remember her singing that song to us in a spooky Halloween voice. The ever-present eye is watching you, watching you. The ever-present eye is watching you, so choose wisely what you choose to do. Wow. I guess that stuff really doesn't ever leave. We didn't ever grow up hearing it in church. See? This is what I'm talking about. So Dad and his camcorder were the ever-present eyes. I think dad and the camcorder function for me is a symbol of God seeing all. It's something called specific in theology. I mean, it's called something specific in theology. The doctrine of omnipresence. Right, omnipresence. Although I definitely wasn't conscious of this at the time. What was it like performing for God? Awful. I never saw his reaction to my behavior. I could never look at his face and see what he was thinking. All I had to go on were the Holy Scriptures, taken as literally as possible. And according to that evangelical Christian culture, it was pretty clear what one should and should not do, especially should not. And yet you still masturbated. Yeah, like every teenage boy. That was like trying to stop a train moving. Did your shift away from your faith have anything to do with hearing the same stories over and over? With time, I began to see our religious culture as a collection of performative rituals and narratives. Perhaps related to our home videos after all. The narrative of Christianity is embedded into the footage. Sure it is. You can't separate the two. And yet you are trying to do just this in your work. You're attempting to remove Christianity from our family archive and from your very own identity. Some aspects of Christianity, yeah. Maybe it's a lost cause. But it's what I'm driven to make. I started gazing at my faith culture through a critical lens, and I can't look back. Lens, What? Oh, huh. I've heard you use the term critically curious Christian before. Explain this. To me, it means someone who holds Christian beliefs while simultaneously keeping a critical eye on where Christian doctrine falls. This persona is open and curious about the breadth and diversity of the world. This sounds to me like healthy doubt. The history of any faith is full of doubters. And you are critically, are you a critically curious Christian? If I were to divide the phrase into its three parts, my strongest allegiance would fall with curious. I think curiosity tends to make people better than Christianity does. What doesn't fit for you about conservative Christianity? The same stuff that doesn't fit for you. A system that doesn't answer difficult questions but still provides the space for asking them is one that I want to be a part of. I would call it mystical. A system that answers those questions like a dictator scares the shit out of me. I would call that system tyrannical. So have you replaced your tyrannical religious system with one that is more open-ended, namely being an artist? A friend of mine sees my art practice as a replacement for my previous faith. I'm too close to it to agree or disagree. All these things really came into question during graduate school, right? The doubts about Christianity started much earlier, but I was really shaken up during grad school. Did you feel schizophrenic then? Not clinically. That's not what I meant. Did you feel pulled in different directions? During graduate school, things were especially confusing. I was living an hour away and would drive up to the school once a week. I was married at the time, and I had a lot of trouble relating to my wife. I had a difficult set of friends, maybe even a different persona. I had a different set of friends, maybe even a different persona when I was up there. It felt as if I was living two lives. And you were. I was. How is making work about you and I helped you on this journey? Bringing you into my practice was a way to give form to my feeling of being a split person. It worked because you are both my double and my nemesis. We look identical, and yet we couldn't be more different. In a way, you represent the parts of myself that I don't understand, which has always been an issue for me about the work we've done together. The language you use still makes me sound like a vessel instead of an actual person. That's pretty shitty. I get that. Focusing on our relationship in school was a strategy that gave me the courage to make identity work. I felt more interesting and unique when I emphasized my twinness. People wanted to know what it was like being an identical twin. And you told them the truth? I told them what they wanted to hear and what I wanted to say. Wow, holy shit. Do you realize how casually you just said that? Why would you lie about your experience? One day I sat down and started watching our old home videos. Dad had transferred many of our tapes to DVD and given the set to me as a gift. What struck me as I watched was this. I couldn't fathom the continuum of a life between the boy Zach on the screen and the man Zach who sat watching himself. It wasn't only a physical gap. It seemed that we shared absolutely no traits. I couldn't recognize myself. So I decided that I wasn't looking at myself any longer. I decided that I was looking at my identical twin. You decided just like that? Yes, I decided I was a twin just like that. Stop copying me. You stop copying me. How's that working out for you? What? Pretending to be a twin. Not so great, really. Why? Because some of the people I am closest to still think I am a twin. Still? Still. You've really painted yourself into a corner. Yeah, I know. Is it a problem because lying is a sin and you feel guilty? No. I mean, yes, maybe. Christian guilt is hard to shake. It has more to do with the fact that I want to have real relationships with people. And these people think that I'm someone I'm not. You made up my entire history? Yeah, I would tell stories about us constantly. I almost started to believe them. Did you ever? No, I'm pretty sure I was always in touch with reality. I'm just a very good performer. I got really into it. There's something liberating about rewatching your own history. Until it keeps you from truly connecting with other people. Well, yeah. Because you lied to them. Told them you were someone you weren't. In a way, yeah, I guess so. So in that sense, you weren't really in touch with reality. I hadn't thought of it like that. I'm just surprised that you were able to lie that well. Considering our background. Your background. Christian ethics. I actually didn't find it hard at all. It felt very natural. What made it natural? Where the hell did that come from? I think people lie to themselves and others all the time about who they are. But this doesn't justify constantly lying to people you care about. You took it to a whole new level. This twin project is really a 3-year performance. I guess it is. A 3-year lie. Did lying about me help you find the truth within yourself? What the hell does truth mean anyways? Look, I created you just as God created Adam. You came from my ribs. I breathed life into your very soul, and we by ourselves may not have ever arrived at the truth that was promised to us through religion. But there is so much that we did together, so much we accomplished. What exactly did we accomplish? Your existence has helped me examine the parts of myself that I didn't understand. Do you understand those parts now? Well, no, not completely. Will you ever? It's doubtful. Is that really accomplishing anything? Let me give you another example. You gave me the confidence and the space I needed to distance myself from the Christian narrative. How did I do that? Christianity is a set of stories that are presented as exclusively true and handed down from one generation to the next. Why couldn't I create my own set of stories? I wanted to know whether a fictitious narrative that I told others and myself could positively shape who I am in the world. Maybe it doesn't matter whether the story is true or not. Maybe what matters is whether it is useful to becoming who I want to become. And who do you want to become? I want to become my best self. Is your best self someone who is so insecure that you have to tell a serious lie about who you are before you can feel comfortable around your closest friends? Is your best self someone who desperately wants to get close to others and yet keeps every single person at arm's length by not showing them who you really are? Stop bullshitting yourself. You can't alter your life by lying about it. You thought that this new story would bring you closer to others, but it has only made the distance greater. Who you are is set. You haven't changed. You won't change, no matter what stories you tell. 1,000 people could believe you, 1,000,000, 7 billion, everyone on this planet. Even you could believe you, and it wouldn't change a goddamn thing. No, 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 no. You're wrong. I have changed. All I do is change. That's it. That's all I fucking do. It never stops. I don't stay still for one motherfucking minute. I saw my child self on that radio screen. That child self was not me. You don't fucking know, dude. I'm on this journey, and I needed to go to this place with you. How could I have had this conversation, a conversation that takes a lot of goddamn courage, if I hadn't created you? You made me stronger. You helped me touch the parts of myself I had only imagined. I needed your help. I needed your help looking at myself from the third person. I didn't recognize myself. I had changed too much. I felt as if the ground beneath who I was opened up and swallowed me whole. This scared me. I needed someone. I needed a hand to hold. You were that hand. You couldn't single-handedly look myself in the eyes. I created you because I couldn't face myself alone. Well, that concludes this small booklet that Zach Klein put together with help from his friends and New Byzantium Press. Thanks for listening. And tune in next week for Reading Radio as we take you on another adventure in the world of scripted dialogue.